Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And off we go into the Money Hour, our numero dos. So the Rob Brown Radio program starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is spectacular to have y'all on a Friday morning. I am Rob Brown. On the other side of the metaphorical glass, the guy who is in charge of this and every other radio program, he is the great one, Lonzo. What a day. What a day we got going on today. We got NFL Draft Round 1 recap. We got NFL Draft Round 2 and 3 preview. Here's my question, great one. After round three, you tuning in? After round two, do you stay tuned in? Do you stay locked in? Are you a recap guy?
I'll have it on if I'm doing other stuff. And I'll pay attention if I hear a name or if one of the teams I pull for or pull against come up. But it's usually on in the background. I definitely will watch tonight, but also at the same time, the another draft is going on that I want to pay attention to. So, you know.
WNBA draft is over. I already did it. It was like two Mondays
that
ago.
That would be the WWE draft.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, yes. Gotcha. Checks out. So, we have got a lot of stuff we're going to get into, obviously, with the recap of one, the preview of two and three. Rashad Beard going to join us. A little bonus action coming up at 8:40 this morning. We will discuss with him the selection of Leggett and preview where he thinks Carolina's going to go with 39 and what they'll do the rest of the ride. That's coming up in a little while. Going to talk a little bit more about Atlanta's move to get Michael Penix Jr. because apparently, some folks, including Kirk Cousins, got all up in their feels about Atlanta drafting a QB. I said back in the beginning of the last hour, I think it actually makes a lot of sense. I was really struggling there.
Back there a little bit.
The brain got all discombobulated there for just a second. We're going to talk about all of that, but it is 7:02 in the morning. It is about that time. You just got to make it through today, guys. You just got to make it through this last day.
You can do this. We believe in you.
Yes, we do. And then, as was once said, baby, it's the freaking weekend. We about to have us some fun. All right? I know what you're looking forward to, though.
Did you say that? Or did
no, that was from a song.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think it was. Now that I think about it, I think it was R. Kelly. I take it back. I don't want to quote R. Kelly.
Just like, it's like quoting Bill or some other, I mean.
Nah.
No, not that Bill.
Nah.
not that Bill. But anyway.
Depends on what the definition of the word is. All right, so
I was thinking Cosby. He went, you know, as long
as... pick your poison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, all right.
All right, so it is 7:03 in the morning. You're about to clock in at work, and you're going to want to get to that first break. And when you get to that first break, you're going to want to talk to sports. And if you want to talk sports, then you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you want to know what's going on in the world of sports, then you need this. That's a very dramatic guitar riff right there.
I wanted to clear sinuses.
Edge.
Yeah, there we go.
Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this AM. Let us begin, ladies and gentlemen, with item number one. NBA playoffs still underway, will be underway until like mid-June because it's the longest playoffs in America. Of course, three games last night. We'll start with the Cavs and the Magic because... And I asked this question, and I mean it. I thought about this enough. 121-83, Cleveland, what the was that?
Took a night off.
Took a night off?
Yeah, no one's paying attention right now because of the NFL drafts. Just took a night off. Get a little rest.
Golly. The Magic beat the dog excrement out of this
or maybe,
team.
Or maybe just for one night they remembered they were Cleveland. I mean, that could have been it.
It was atrocious. It was awful. You didn't have a Cavalier over 15. You only had two of those. You had four in double digits. Mobley had 10. Spida had 13. 15 for Allen. 15 for LeVert off the bench. And that was it. Every other Cav was in single digits. They shot 39%, 23% from deep, and went to the stripe 11 times or 13 times. Made 11. On the flip side, Paolo Banchero, the guy I told you guys was going to be a stud at the next level. 31 points, 13 of 26, 4 of 9 from the arc. The Magi, as a team, shot 51.1% from the floor, 35% from deep. 31 out of Banchero, 24 for Suggs, 16 for Franz Wagner, 11 for Fultz, and 10 for Anthony off the bench. Dude, my goodness, Orlando. Where was this the first two games of the series, my dudes? Every game in this series has been a blowout so far, or at least had the vibes of a blowout. Game one, Cavs win 97-83. It wasn't that close. Game two, Cavs win 96-86. It wasn't that close. Game three, Orlando wins 121-83. Not 103, not 93, 83. Wow. I don't know that there's much more we need to say about that game. The Cavaliers look like the pre-LeBron Cavaliers. That was awful. The 76ers are able to get one back. I tell you what, I didn't like this game at all. Not that Philly lost, because Philly was one of my lower seeded championship teams. And by the way, if you did not hear, apparently Joel Embiid was diagnosed with Bell's palsy about a week ago. I had Bell's palsy. Do you remember that great one?
Yes, I do remember thinking that, you know, the same way you were thinking that some things would soon be over.
Yep.
Yes.
I had Bell's palsy. The left side of my face didn't work. And let me tell you, when the left side of your face doesn't work, it's very hard to say, swoosh. And oh, by
actually,
the way.
That's kind of what it sounded like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounded like, swoosh. And on top of that, at the time, we were branded under a different company. A company that had an S and a P in its name. And oh, by the way, it was a company that had an S and a P in its name. And the second word following it had a P and an S in its name. So I had to do sports talk on ESPN Upstate.
I'm glad we can laugh about it now.
Oh, I can't laugh about it now.
Well, because
it stopped.
Because if it didn't, you actually might not be here. So,
genuinely.
I mean, yeah.
Genuinely. Whether of my own volition or not, I honestly thought when I got Bell's palsy, yo, there's a 15-year career right down the pipes, just like that. Anyway, the point here is when I was dealing with the Bell's palsy, things were very difficult to do. Not like, oh God, my life's over difficult, but like more difficult than normal because my left eye did not close all the way. Throughout the day for about a week and a half, actually about 2.5 weeks, about every 10 minutes, I had to go down to the bathroom and put eye drops in because my eye couldn't close all the way. At night, I had to sleep with like a Daniel Bryanson, Bryan Danielson bandana over my face because otherwise my eye wouldn't close to let me go to sleep. It sucked. My vision was blurry most of that time. I had to put on an eye patch to drive. I looked like the world's stupidest pirate trying to get to work. It sucked. And apparently Joel Embiid has been dealing with that. Well, I don't think he was dealing with it last night because he scored 50 points as the Sixers knock off the Knicks 125-114.
So he's doing that with one eye, basically.
Now, I think he's probably got both eyes back. Think he might. Sincerely, jokes aside, one of the issues that I dealt with when I had the Bell's palsy for 2.5 weeks, one of the issues I had because my left eye wouldn't close great one, it was exhausted and it couldn't focus. And so unless I had one eye closed, my vision was a little blurry. And when I did close that eye, when I put the eye patch over it, when I put the bandana over it, I only had one eye. My depth perception was non-existent. So shooting a three would have been muscle memory and nothing else. I'd have been probably better served to close my eyes and shoot with muscle memory than anything else. And that apparently, to some degree, is what Joel Embiid has been dealing with. Sympathy for that. On the flip side, did you see what Joel Embiid did when he got real temper tantrum-y under the basket? They threw a pass underneath. I want to say it was to Ananobi. It was to Hartenstein. Threw a pass underneath. Embiid got knocked to the ground. And Hartenstein went up to lay the ball back in. From the ground, Joel Embiid wrapped both arms around his legs and pulled him back down as he was elevating to jump. Very dangerous play. Like, legitimately, even I, who has been pulling for Joel Embiid, who is pulling for the Sixers to make me look good, even I was like, I'd toss him. He'd be gone. That's a flagrant two, and he's out. It was bad. It's bad. 125-114, the Sixers knock off the New York Knicks. And in the last game of the night, LeBron, AD, and co. once again on the brink of being bounced by the Nuggets in four. 112-105, Denver goes into CryptBro.com arena and get the dub last night. I put a bet down that the Lakers would win one game. Oh, you missed it. They showed the play that Joel Embiid made. It was pretty gross.
I'd already seen it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah,
it was pretty gross. Would you bounce that guy for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I would.
He didn't get bounced, though, because of who he is.
Yeah, there was a lot of tinfoil caps going around on Twitter last night. A lot of tinfoil caps. Yo, if that's, I don't know, Michael Porter Jr., he's gone. And I don't know that they're wrong, to be honest with you. Anyway, Lakers are in a lot of trouble. Lakers played the best game of the series they've had, and they still couldn't get it done last night. Shot almost 50% from the floor. They did go 5 of 27 from the arc, though, and that's not great. The Nuggets, like, weren't special last night. The Nuggets shot the shot from the field was identical to the Lakers. They were both 44 of 90. The Nuggets were worse from three. They were 5 of 28. They won at the free throw stripe. They were 19 of 22. The Lakers were 12 of 17. There were 13 Nugget turnovers to 7 Laker turnovers. Everything on the stat sheet says the Lakers should have won this game. And yet they did not. I don't know what to tell you. The Lakers are cooked, man. The Lakers are absolutely cooked at this point. All right, let's move on to item number two. We got to sprint through these. Won't spend as much time on them, but last night, a couple of games in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, the Florida Panthers are now in solid control of the series over the Tampa Bay Lightning. A 5-3 win last night gives them a 3-0 lead in the Eastern Conference opener against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is like 9 straight home losses in the playoffs for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Scoring open with Matthew Tkachuk. The scoring closed with Matthew Tkachuk. He hit an empty netter with 1.5 minutes left to go to kill off the Lightning 5-3. The Panthers have a 3-0 lead in that series. And you're my hour. Carolina Hurricanes also have a 3-0 lead in their series after a 3-2 road win last night in New York over the Islanders. Brent Burns and Dmitry Orlov both popped a couple of goals in the first period to take a 2-0 lead. Pierre Engvall got one back for the Islanders, but then El Capitan Sebastian Aho netted one 7:14 into the second period. Brock Nelson got one back. Felt like the Islanders maybe had a bit of the mo going into the third. A scoreless third period. Carolina played excellent closeout defense on the forecheck last night. And the Canes find themselves up 3-0 in that series. And finally, item number 3. Carolina Panthers got a first-round pick last night. They told Xavier Legette they wanted him. They went up and got him. After the Buffalo Bills made a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs to allow the Chiefs to jump up to 28 and get their guy Xavier Worthy, Buffalo fell to 32. Buffalo got on the horn. The Panthers said, yep, we're going to move up one spot just to ensure we get our guy. They trade effectively a 5th-round pick to the Buffalo Bills to slide into slot number 32. And with that pick, they select former South Carolina Gamecock Xavier Legette. Pardon me. My God, I'm a professional. Rob, get your life together, man. They select Xavier Legette. I can't drink energy drinks in the morning, so I flipped over to these sparkling waters, and dude, these sparkling waters are killing me.
It was very Rick and Morty.
I couldn't even hide that one. I couldn't play that one off.
By the way, you should get like drink Propel or something, which doesn't have the bubbles. And then
I love the bubbles.
Yeah, I had to stop drinking things with bubbles.
Do you have the problem that I just had?
No, I was in the hospital.
And oh yeah, okay, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't burped my way into a hospital bed yet, so far so good. Anyway, Legette, 5 years with the Gamecocks, broke out in his final season, 71 receptions, over 1,250 yards, 7 touchdowns, and did so with his quarterback playing behind an offensive line that is bad. It was bad. It was real bad last year. So there he goes. Legette said, we had 3 days to meet with teams, and each day I had to meet with the Panthers. That's when I realized, okay, they really want me, and then I just kept meeting with them. Dan Morgan said after the move, quote, he was our target, we really liked him, and we went and got him. Yeah, they did. We're going to talk more about that pick later on. We're also going to keep evaluating night one of the NFL draft. Texter said, how about the Niners picking up another weapon for that already stacked offense? Texter said, J.J. McCarthy, go Vikings. Joey said, I love the move from Carr's view. Got their guy by swapping a 5th and a 6th, basically XL for a 5th rounder. Not too shabby. I agree. We're going to keep recapping some big notes out of college football, too. When we come back, Greg Sankey, commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, spoke out about the proposed NCAA football Super League.
I bet it means more.
I'll tell you exactly what it means when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Greg Sankey is the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. One of the discussions that has been going on in the land of collegiate football, obviously, has been a discussion regarding the potential for a college football super league. Now, I told you when that story broke, it ain't happening, dudes. It's just not happening. There's never going to be enough support for that to get justified. There's just too much money on the table for that to become a reality, unfortunately. However, it was still getting talked about. It was still being spun around in the wash. Southeastern Conference Commissioner Greg Sankey yesterday, Wednesday afternoon, dismissed any interest in even engaging in the conversation. He said, quote, "The fact that people have interest in throwing ideas out, that's up to them. I spend my time on what I have to do." I am first and foremost shocked that Greg Sankey talked about it at all. I'm shocked he brought this up in discussion, even just to dismiss it. This is one of those things. I don't know about y'all. When I was being brought up, when I was being raised, I got told very frequently, if people are out there running their mouth, if they're out there saying stuff, if they're out there trying to drag it down, don't respond to it. Don't stoke the flames, man. But Greg Sankey coming out and saying that this is a nothing burger doesn't shock me. Why would it? Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti are right now, today, two of the, if not the two most, powerful people in college football.
Please disperse. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, effectively. Nothing. They are going to trample this idea because what would this idea do? It would render conferences moot. They would no longer have any relevance. They would no longer have a point to them. You would have new conferences, but conferences that all kind of play all in one. Like, you know what the plan was. Handful of super conferences, one conference that would have promotion relegation between what is effectively a second tier and a top tier. Sankey said, quote, "You can use the cliche, if I was buying stock, I'd buy stock in college sports. Well, apparently a lot of people believe that outside of college sports, something's going right," end quote. This is a weird spot for me because on one hand, you knew this was coming. You knew this was going to be dismissed. This was never going to be taken seriously by the big dogs on the top of the chain. The TV people weren't going to let this happen. I mean, yeah, you might have some smaller level networks that want to be involved that will push the conversation. But Fox and ESPN, Disney, ABC, they got no interest in this. They control the most interesting teams in college football at this point. Greg Sankey, of course, is going to say, "I'd buy stock in this." Why? Have you ever noticed you don't really hear billionaires complain about the economy unless they're running for office? You don't really hear Bezos or Musk complain about the economy unless it's in a political tangent of theirs. Why? They got all the money. The economy is just great if you got all the money. When you as an individual person own like a percentage of the wealth of the country that is noticeable, you probably think the economy is just dandy. That's Greg Sankey. That's Greg Sankey. He's the Jeff Bezos of college football. He's got all the money. And if he's got all the money, he's going to have negative interest in anything changing. Status quo is important in college football, specifically when it comes to the people who are making the money. In fact, the status quo was the same for many years. The status quo in terms of conference expansion, transfer portal, NIL, the status quo doesn't change until some entity somewhere realizes they'll make a lot more money if it does. We, as fans, are an afterthought because they know we ain't going nowhere. Again, every time there is some big deal in sports, where, you know, BLM, kneeling during the anthem, removing the Confederate flag from racetracks, whatever. Every time there's one of these deals, you get a billion people who go, that's it. I'm not watching anymore. Screw them. They've crossed the line. And yet, year after year, ratings go up. We're not going anywhere. And because we're not going anywhere, the only changes that are going to get made are going to be made when there's a group that realizes I can utilize my power to make more money. That includes, by the way, the NIL. College football players as a whole recognize that they actually have some power, that they can flex and get themselves paid. And that is what they have done. And now NIL's a thing. College football players realize they have some power, that they can flex, and now the transfer portal is a thing. The fans, it happens very rarely, but outside of certain areas, I think there are more people than you think that are very supportive of NIL in the portal. They realized they had some power, they pushed for it, it is now enacted. The folks that are having these conversations, and I'm going to say, I mean the big conversations. Do you think we have a playoff picture now? Do you think we have a playoff picture because the fans went, hey, we'd be really nice if we had a playoff? No, no. We got a playoff picture now because they went, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We can play 8 or 9 or 10 more games and put them on TV. And if we put them on TV, the TV people will give us mucho dinero in return for it. The playoffs don't exist because we all thought the playoffs would be a great idea. The playoffs exist because the folks at the top realize there's more money on the table that they're leaving behind by not having a playoff format. So now we have a playoff format. So that we're clear, I actually really like the concept that was brought forward by the marketing group Turnkey ZRG. 7 divisions, 10 schools each, an 8th division made up of schools that could be promoted or relegated up or down based on performance. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to go anywhere. Because Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, they got all the money. And he who got the gold makes the rules. You understand? They're not going anywhere. Jim, the ACC, Phillips and Co., are they fighting for survival? You're damn right they are. Are they going to survive? No, at least not after 2036 at the latest. They're cooked, but they want to keep that money flowing in as long as they possibly can. So they're going to be against it. I think all the schools would be better off under this model. The money would be spread across more evenly. The parity would be there. You'd be able to keep rivalries together. You'd be able to create more geographically interesting football, which if there's one thing I ever agreed with Mark Ryan about, it was the fact that geographic rivalries for years and years and years made college football. And now that those are going away, college football has lost one of the things that made it special. This little conference setup, multi-conference setup, would make those come back. But you know what else it would do? It would cost money to the people that are in charge. You think they're going to let that happen? You know it. I know it. Absolutely not. Of course, Greg Sankey spoke out against this. Would it be good for football? I think so. I think it'd be an interesting format. I think promotion relegation in the bottom division would be very interesting. It would make it hyper competitive. I think the ability to design out the 10-team conferences, divisions, whatever you want to call it, could get very interesting and entertaining. But at the end of the day, it's going to cost money to the commissioners, so they are out. Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number two after this. Rob Alonso and you on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Texture says, all right, Rob, talk me out of denouncing my Falcon fandom. Why take Penix and at 8? Question mark, question mark, question mark, exclamation point. All right, let's get to it. Let's break it down. Let's wrap for a minute, shall we? Get off my lawn.
I was going to say, you definitely sound like a parent trying to have a discussion with their teenage son.
First off, I am never going to talk an Atlanta Falcon out of renouncing their Falcons fanhood. You should. But it's not over this.
He's here to help you out, to help you on your way out. I mean, you know.
I never thought of all the people in my life that the guy that would be playing therapist for Atlanta Falcons fans would be me. What a weird spot to be in.
Such a pro.
I am a professional if nothing else. Here's why you should not renounce your Falcons fandom based on the selection of Michael Penix Jr.
Did that hurt just saying that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't like being nice to Atlanta fans. They're the worst. All right. Here is where it goes. Number one, Kirk Cousins is 35 years old. He will be 36 years old by the end of next season. I listed earlier the quarterbacks who played in the NFL last season at 35 years of age. Aaron Rodgers snapped Achilles. Kirk Cousins snapped Achilles. Ryan Tannehill benched. Russell Wilson benched. Everybody else was a backup. Okay? There's a couple. Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, is over 35. But they're all backups.
By the way, just an aside, going headband now looks even more evil.
The likelihood of Kirk Cousins being injured is unfortunately real. It's a real likelihood. Is it likely to happen in week 1, 2, 3? You hope not. Aaron Rodgers played a minute and a half. What did he play, 4 snaps? 5 snaps? So, yes, it is real.
Well, 6 if you count the snapping of his.
Very good. Very good. Well done. Yeah. Well done. 5 snaps in a snap for Aaron Rodgers. Kirk Cousins played 7 weeks, 8 weeks before his Achilles popped.
Was killing it, too.
Was playing very good football. But you got to have a guy that can be there and be ready if Kirk Cousins gets hurt again. And I am sorry to tell you that there is a very good chance that he does. Who's the backup if there's no Michael Penix Jr.? Taylor Heinicke. Now, I'll do respect to Taylor Heinicke, but do you believe the Falcons can win the NFC South next year? I do. I absolutely do. And if the Falcons can win the NFC South, is Taylor Heinicke the guy that carries you through the playoffs? No, he's not. I'm not saying Michael Penix Jr. is. I'm saying that you give him a chance that a lot of rookie quarterbacks drafted in the first round don't get. The chance to sit, the chance to learn, the chance to experience. I was talking with Cody Decker a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about rookies breaking into the league. And obviously baseball is a little bit different because there's like 93 levels of minor league ball you got to get through before you get to the show. But he said one of the most difficult things about being a rookie has nothing to do with the sport. And it has everything to do with adjusting your life around what an NFL regular season is like. The traveling, the packing, the hoteling, the being on the road as much as you are at home. He said that's one of the things that a lot of rooks can struggle with. And when you ask a guy to step in and play QB, the most difficult position, I would argue, in all of sport. When you ask a guy to step in and learn the most difficult position of all of sport, and oh, by the way, while you're learning how to play the most difficult position in American sports, I also need you to learn how to be an NFL player. I need you to negotiate your deals, your endorsements. I need to make sure that you got a place to live, that it's comfortable. I got to make sure that you know how to travel well, how to rest, how to rehab, how to live in and out of hotels for a couple of weeks at a time. I got to make sure you're good with all those things. And oh, by the way, here is your 9,000-page book about how our offense runs. Michael Penix Jr. gets to learn a little bit underneath Kirk Cousins. And he also gets to learn how to be a football player off the field in the process. Then if Kirk Cousins does, fingers crossed he doesn't. I like the guy. I'm Team Costco and Kirkland's just like he is. But if he does get hurt, I got a first-round rookie quarterback ready to step in and give it a shot. He's right there. I'm not falling back to Taylor Heinicke in a year that I have a win-now mentality. And the Falcons should have a win-now mentality. That's why the pick. Now, there's another factor in play. This has been brought up a couple of times, and I think it's justifiable to talk about it. The Atlanta Falcons are facing charges of tampering. The Atlanta Falcons are facing potential punishments that, according to Adam Schefter, will be worse than the Eagles' punishment from not terribly long ago, A, and B, likely will involve the loss of draft picks. If the ban hammer comes down on the Atlanta Falcons, you won't have a first-round pick next year. That's a real possibility. You sign Kirk Cousins to a four-year contract. I'm going to tell you the structure of that format tells me you got Kirk Cousins for 3 years. Maximum. You got him for 3 years. And then you're going to end up wiping that contract off the book. So, next year would be a prime year to draft your quarterback, but you don't have that opportunity if the first-round pick goes away. And I think that the assumption that the first-round pick would go away is enough to say we would rather get a guy now and give him a couple of years to work into Kirk Cousins' spot then have to wait until the last year of Kirk Cousins' contract and roll the dice. And oh, by the way, if you do win the division next year and you don't lose your first-round pick, it's still going to be a back half of the round first-round pick, right? Let's say you get it and you lose your first playoff game. You're picking 17, 18, 19, 20, somewhere in that range. Is there a franchise quarterback waiting for you there? No. No. So if you got the win now mentality, if you're selling out to win the division, get the guy now because you probably can't next year. And then assuming that you can roll that in, you're not going to have the opportunity the year after that without giving up a ton of capital. So it allows you to bring in a guy that I am going to tell you, yes, I know there are injury concerns. That is a fair criticism. Lonzo, is Michael Penix Jr. better than J.J. McCarthy?
I believe so. At least in college, he appears to be, yes.
Yeah, 100%. 100% he is, in my opinion. I don't have to think about it. He just is. So you could have traded back. Texter says, let's see, follow-up from that mad fan. I get getting a possible QB for the future, but Penix has been hurt too much already. Seems high for him. Could have traded back. You could have traded back. Here's the problem.
He will get some rest, though, because, you know.
Yes.
And a chance to build some things that had, you know, yes, been injured before.
You give a guy who's dealt with injury time to get right. Time to maximize his health. He gets to go into an NFL health protocol and allow these guys to spend potentially a year, maybe two, maybe three, getting him right, getting him ready.
So when he's nearly 30, he's going to get on the field.
It's not going to be nearly 30. If Kirk Cousins plays out his entire contract, all 4 years, which I am telling you now, he will not. Three maximum years for Kirk Cousins. Michael Penix Jr. would be 27. That's if Kirk Cousins plays 3 years, 27. 28 if he plays all four. But it gives you the opportunity to get him healthy, to get him right, to have a verifiable backup. And if Kirk Cousins goes down, you hopefully, fingers crossed, aren't going to miss a beat.
All right, we need to make a correction. According to the internet, Michael Penix is only 23, not 24.
Right now.
Yeah.
He'll be 24 when the season starts.
Okay, all right. I just want to point that out.
He's 23 right now. He'll be 24 when the season starts.
His birthday is on May 8th.
Okay, so he'll be 24 in days.
Right. You said when the season starts. I was just pointing that because I'm trying to figure out would he be nearly 30 or just almost 30. And so he's just going to be almost 30, not nearly 30.
He is going to be 27 when he takes over at the latest. And oh, by the way, if he shows up and he gets healthy and his body's right and he performs and he's the guy that I think he can be, I'm giving Kirk Cousins 2 years and I'm making the switch. I'm cutting Kirk. Thanks for your service. Hasta luego.
Well, I would say after 1 year, maybe 2 years, we're going to find out if this was a mistake or not.
Sure.
And
for the record, you know what other draft pick I can say that about? Literally all of them.
You can, but at the same time, Falcons fans can go, we could have had this guy. We could have had this guy. Look at what this you made this example earlier in the show. When you pass on a guy, in this case, you passed on a lot of people, and all those guys do really good in the league. And make a difference on their teams, and this guy finally gets a chance to start.
Not all those guys.
No, some of those guys. This is a hypothetical. If all those guys, I did say if, I didn't say it loud enough, I need to enunciate better. If all those guys do better than Michael Penix Jr. when he finally gets on the field, then it was a bad pick. I get all the reasons that you're putting out there. Still, if I was a fan of that team, I would be upset.
Because
what they're saying, this is our quarterback of the future. We don't, you know, plan on doing that well, or we just don't want to give weapons to the guy that's there right now.
I disagree entirely. This is a second-rate version of the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers plan, which I'd say has pretty well worked out for the Green Bay Packers.
Has it, though?
Yes.
It's a one season.
They went to Dallas and beat the bleep out of the Cowboys in the playoffs. Sorry, Cole Bryson.
It was Dallas, man. Come on. That's what Dallas does in the playoffs now. Did he play well? Yes, he did. But that was basically his first season. We'll see what he does this year.
Texter said, Falcons fan, Rob, very upset about the Penix pick. Need defensive picks. Offense is not the problem. The Falcons could have grabbed a quarterback in the third round. Guys, I understand that some of you fall into this next man up mentality.
I think most of the Falcons fans are upset about this. Have we had one say, oh, it's a good move?
No, we haven't. That I'm not saying you're wrong to be upset. I know you wanted defensive picks. What I'm saying is you don't have to like it, but the pick is justifiable. It's justifiable in that you have a backup in case you're 36 next year, your old quarterback gets hurt again the year after he's coming off of a major injury.
Apparently is the new 57. If you are a fan of the show, you know what that means.
Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill, and Kirk Cousins. That's all of the 36-year-old quarterbacks from last year. Two of them went down to season-ending massive injuries. Two of them got benched. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Yes, I know it sucks. I'm 39. I'm older than 36. It sucks to hear that 36 is old, but it is. It is empirically, it is the drop-off point. The guys who play well after that are Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Breeze. That's it. That's it. So to get the next guy in line, that's a good way to play it out. You're thinking down the line. Because if his Achilles pops again, I got a first-round quarterback as a backup. I can still compete for the division now. Now, I can do it right now. I agree you need defense. I don't know if you know this. There's six more rounds of draft coming up.
Nuh-uh.
Six more. It starts tonight. I'll be watching. But this next man up mentality of could have got a guy in the third round. There is nobody left as good as Michael Penix Jr. Nobody. There's no quarterbacks left as good as this guy.
Here's the thing. Because Penix is going to be sitting potentially for 3 years, Spencer Rattler could do the same thing. And sit for 3 years and learn and be ready to go whenever Kirk Cousins goes down.
And play
down.
An entirely and different style of offense.
Where is Spencer Rattler going to be drafted probably?
Today.
You think
today.
So?
Okay. In the next 15 to 20 picks. Inside of the next 15 to 20 picks, Spencer Rattler will be drafted. He is the best quarterback left on the board, just so we're clear. Michael Pratt's on that list. Keaton Slovis, Jordan Travis, Devin Leary, Joe Milton III, Sam Hartman coming out of Notre Dame. All these guys are getting drafted, most of them over the next 70 picks, I would say. I get what you're saying. Guys, let me be the bad guy one more time again. Spencer Rattler's not as good as Michael Penix Jr. He's not. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he can't be better at the NFL level. I'm saying today, Spencer Rattler is not as proven good as Michael Penix Jr. So getting that guy, if Kirk Cousins goes down, Spencer Rattler does not feel to an NFL GM as ready to slide into that spot and keep the ship in the right direction as Michael Penix Jr.
My point is you just brought Penix to be a backup. Spencer Rattler can be a backup just as well.
I didn't bring him to be a backup. I brought him to be quarterback of the future, uh-huh. Who is going to be the backup for a season, maybe two, no more than that.
Think of all the players that they could have had right there. Atlanta fans, you should be mad. You absolutely should be mad.
Okay, let me quote myself from 3 minutes ago when I said, it's fine to be mad. I'm not saying you shouldn't be mad. I'm saying the pick is justifiable.
Thank you for going fifth grade teacher and using that tone.
Right, but you're like,
I didn't imply that you said, I am also, as a people's champ, I'm with you, Atlanta fans. I get why you're upset, and you should be.
I literally said, I get that you're mad, and I'm fine with you being mad. I don't support you in being mad.
You spent like the last 15 minutes telling them why it's a good thing, though. And you know what they heard for those 15 minutes? No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
Well, then don't listen to me.
No, you need to listen to him.
Then don't listen to me.
No, hate listen.
But I have a master's degree in knowing ball. Welcome to the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate Sports Flash.
My GED shines through again. All right, let's get to something other than the NFL. Games 1 and 2 didn't go well for the Orlando Magic. Game 3 couldn't have gone better. The Magic dominated Cleveland en route 2A or en route, I don't know, to a 121-83 victory to close the series to a 2-1 Cleveland lead. The Cavaliers had two scorers at 15 points and none higher. Joel Embiid notched 50 in the Philadelphia 76ers 125-114 win over the Knicks. Embiid also added 8 boards and 4 assists while Tyrese Maxey scored 25. The Sixers now trail New York 2-1. I actually have a high school diploma. That was a GED and no ball, in case you were wondering. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show. It'll be brand new for a while anyway. Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a whole lot of fun. You know what? It's all Wire to Wire.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.